What's up, shelf addicts? Welcome back to the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Today on Book Chat, we are continuing our reread of the Mercy Thompson series. This episode, we are covering Book 9, Fire Touched. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, I am your host, Tamara, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, we're going to feed your shelf addiction with fun book conversations, bookish topics, and more. It's like listening in on your favorite book club. Participate in this discussion by joining the Facebook group, Shelf Addiction Official, or over on the Book Club app. I hope to hear your thoughts on today's show. You can also find me and Casey on Twitter and Instagram. The links for everything I've mentioned are below in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please support the podcast by sharing it with some book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. And don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe before you leave. That will really help me out, and I appreciate you for doing it. The uncut video version of this podcast is available right now over on Patreon. Join us there for exclusive videos, including after shows and more. So if you're interested in that at all, you'll need to come over onto Patreon and sign up. As always with Book Chats, we talk spoilers here, so you've been warned. Without further ado, let's begin. Joining me is feature co-host Casey from Heartful of Ink. Welcome back, Casey.
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here. Yes. Like always, it's the best.
I'm glad you're here as well. Today we are doing another installment of our reread of the Mercy Thompson series. I know that sounds crazy every time I say it, but that's what it is. So today we are going to talk about, let's just show the, for you guys aren't on Patreon, cover. You can't see the beautiful cover art of Fire Touched right now, but it's gorgeous.
It's so pretty. Yes,
beautiful. So we're going to give our stats and our synopsis as we do, and we're going to jump right on in. So again, we are talking about Fire Touched by Patricia Briggs, 9th in series, published March 8th, 2016 by Ace and Penguin Audio. The paperback is 310 pages, and the audiobook is 10 hours and 7 minutes. It's narrated by Lorelei King. Casey, would you please read the synopsis?
Mercy Thompson has been hailed as a heroine who continues to grow and yet always remains true to herself. Now she's back, and she'll soon discover that when Fae stalk the human world, it's the children who suffer. Tensions between the Fae and human are coming to a head. And when coyote shapeshifter Mercy and her alpha werewolf mate Adam are called upon to stop a rampaging troll, they find themselves with something that could be used to make the Fae back down and forestall an out-and-out war. A human child stolen long ago by the Fae. Defying the most powerful werewolf in the country, the humans and the Fae, Mercy, Adam, and their pack choose to protect the boy no matter what the cost. But who will protect them from a boy who is fire touched?
All right. Oh, that was, you know what? I love the synopsis on these books. So to the point, just like the books themselves.
Short and sweet and yes. Wrapping it all up.
Exactly. All right. So I just finished this really several minutes ago. When did you finish, Casey?
Earlier this morning, like about an hour ago.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
We are turning these books around fast. We start on a Tuesday and record mm-hmm. on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And if you have anything else to do, that leaves you finishing at the last minute.
Yes. Life sometimes gets in the way a little bit, but they're Mercy books, which you've already read, and we love them, so we can speed right through.
Yes.
And enjoy the whole story.
Yes. And
it is not a drag. No, it is not a pain.
It's worth it. It's not painful at all. It's totally worth it. So as we do, high level, how did you feel when we reached the end?
I think this is one of my favorite Mercy books.
Really?
Like, from page one, you know, that opening chapter is one of the best opening chapters because it's hilarious.
It
with
is.
Mercy meeting an MLM oil selling lady. And like, if you just read that chapter alone, I think it's worth it. Like, that I feel like Patricia Briggs got cornered by somebody who was selling oils, and her author brain went, oh, I need to put Mercy in this situation.
Absolutely. It's hilarious, really.
It's hilarious. But then, you know, chapter two starts and it's action, action, action. Yes. Right through the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Nonstop. And there are several really long action scenes in this book. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's bad, but sometimes I'm like, wow, how long is it going to take them to defeat this, the troll? Or how long is it going to, you know?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really fun and interesting, like, especially with the troll, because, you know, usually they defeat something very quickly. You know, like back in Frostburned, when they had to fight Frost, the vampire who was also magical, that got wrapped up pretty quickly. He was a terrible villain, but their fight scene lasted, or their fight lasted maybe 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was short and sweet and to the point.
Yeah.
With this, it was kind of like, oh shit, we've defeated bad guys in the past, but how do we defeat this bad guy? Are we strong enough? Can we actually do it?
It was a really a group effort. It took a lot to take that troll down. There was a lot of moving parts involved, mm-hmm. which made it interesting. But on the flip side, at the end, we had a pretty quick takedown of, what's that lady? One of the Fae who came to take the artifact.
The Widow Queen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that's her name.
That was pretty neat.
She had several names. Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. See, yeah. Like, usually when they take down bad guys, it's a very short and fast and snappy fight scene. So I appreciated the troll as, like, that extra, like, oh, shit, mm-hmm. how do we do this?
Yeah.
There are things bigger and badder than us out there, and a giant naked troll is one of them.
Actually, I think it was a whole chapter. Wasn't it?
I think it was like almost two chapters.
Yeah.
Like, I think all of chapter two and like half of chapter three, if not more. Like, it was a long fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just fighting. You know, Mercy came in and she was talking to the cops, and then she had to go and save the mom and the baby and drive the car off the bridge. And we got to see the troll like play with the cars like a little kid and then bat the werewolves around.
And of course, she had to give her speech. Don't forget her speech.
Oh, yes. Okay. So then after they kill the troll, Mercy goes all dramatic queen with her spear and declaration of this is our land.
Territory, and people who come here are safe, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Typical.
That's Mercy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for me, I overall enjoyed it. I don't think this is one of my favorites, but I loved all the little tidbits of knowledge in here. And like, there were several parts where I'm like, this is Patricia Briggs showing us again the flex that she has on plotting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And there's so many moving parts and there's so mm-hmm. many things. And I've been, you know, reading through Shifting Shadows. I haven't quite finished it yet, but there's a short story about Thomas Ho and Margaret and how they met. And it is one of my favorite short stories ever of all time. Like, not just Patricia Briggs, but ever.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I had just read that, so I knew their whole backstory.
I need to read that. I haven't read it in a long time.
It's good. It's good. It takes place before Moon called. So when she said she's been, you know, recovering for years, I was like, it's been, you know, several years, because we're 9 books into Mercy's world and you're only now on crutches.
Yeah. Wow.
But no. Seeing him pop up again was really fun. And seeing Margaret, you know, kick butt verbally was fun.
Yeah. She's like, I like her character a lot. Like, it's kind of, she's kind of like Mercy. Like, you know, she's mm-hmm. low key. No one really can tell how powerful she is until mm-hmm. they go to do something against her. And then they find out real fast. Like,
yeah. Because her dad was super powerful.
Right.
Like Mercy. And so they assume, oh, you might have some power, but you're not your dad.
Right. Because they present they don't look very powerful by looking mm-hmm. at them.
Yes.
So they make some assumptions. So I love that. Yeah, I love all that stuff. I need to read that short story. I haven't read any of those short stories in so long. And I know you've been reading them throughout this series.
I've been picking and choosing. There's some really good ones. You know, like I read Samuel's Meeting of Ariana. I read Thomas's. I've read some of the outtakes.
Oh, yeah. You also read that story with that little girl and a seal. I remember us talking about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, that's a cute story. Yeah. It's really sweet. There's one with Warren and his boyfriend, Kyle, which, yeah. Okay. So back in, I think it was Nightbroken, Mercy mentions that Kyle's neighbor is dead. That's that short story.
Okay.
You get to find out who the neighbor was and why he died. And like, there's so many tiny things that Patricia Briggs will just mention, but then she has a whole ass story for it. That's like, you know, Mercy doesn't know what happened. She's like, oh yeah, the neighbor's dead. But I'm like, I read Shifting Shadows.
I know what happened.
I know what happened.
That's funny. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what else is going on? Oh, you know, I guess I liked that we were introduced like to Aiden in this book. I really like Aiden. He's really a quirky kind of old young person. Because Aiden is like, his character is really unique, kind of like Underhill and Yo-Yo Girl. You know, they present really young. They're not young at all.
Not at all. They are centuries old. Mm-hmm. Like anywhere from 500 years to 900 years or more. Like he's possibly really, really old. But he looks like he's 10 and doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And when he tries to assert dominance, he gets his ass handed to him.
Well, that's because he had the unfortunate luck of being in Underhill for so long. He has no reference of like how to deal with people in the real world. What etiquette is, what's allowed, what's not. He has no clue. So, you know, he goes and slap he slaps what's her name,
Jessie
on the butt, and of course she reacts. She's no meek lady. She reacts.
She slaps him in the face with a spatula,
which I would have died to see that, by the way.
Yes.
And then of course Daryl hears it and he runs in and he's like choking him out. The mess. It's always entertaining there. I love it. I love all the things. And you know, I felt a little bad for Aiden because, you know, he explained what he was trying to do, and he does come across childlike in some of those moments because he just doesn't have the knowledge, right? He just doesn't know. So it's like you have to teach him like you would teach a child. This is why we don't hit people. This is why
we don't touch butts.
Right.
Like you need to be given permission before you touch somebody. Right. You don't do this. And he's like, but I thought she was just a servant. Like, no.
And even if
everybody
she was,
helps out,
you don't do that.
Yeah. No matter who she is, you don't touch anybody.
Right. You don't touch people and then they won't touch you and we'll be good.
Exactly.
Because if you keep touching people, they will touch you and it will not feel good. They will try to hurt you.
No, so, they'll smack you with a spatula.
And he's so basic about it.
And you'll be lucky that that's it.
He's so obvious, like oblivious, I should say. He's like, what? I'll just kill them. They're not sure of me. What's the big deal? He just did not.
And Mercy's like, but if you kill Daryl, then Adam comes in and hurts you. But if you kill Adam, then the whole pack comes in and kills you. And at some point, you're going to die because there's more of them than there is of you.
Yeah. She's like, you came here for, you want protection from us. And if we're all gone, who's going to protect you against the Fae? Nobody, right? You're
nobody.
Your butt's toast. So like, let's just not do this. And he gets it, you know, and, you know, she has to say, you know, you need to apologize because we apologize for things when we mess up. And he's like, I'm sorry. It's like, it's pure comedy.
It's comedy. Yes. Yes. And that's, this book has more comedy than I think any other book so far. That's not to say Mercy hasn't been funny, but like with chapter one, with Aiden, with all of these things, there's so much comedy in the midst of all of this battling.
Yeah, which I love. I think the comic relief is necessary because otherwise, without it, I do feel like it would kind of be like trudging through mud a little bit if all you had was fighting and nothing else. So you have to have like those moments. We have the cutesy moments with, you know, Adam and Mercy. We have the comical moments between different characters.
So romantic moments. Yes. Oh my God. His declaration. That hit me right in the feels.
Yeah, he's great. They're great together, honestly.
They're great together. They are.
Yes. I would say, well, of course, obviously we love these books because we've reread them for the third time and sometimes third more. Yeah.
I've lost count at this point.
But they are easily like my favorite couple in any series that I've read. You know, there's a couple close seconds, but I really like their dynamics specifically.
Yes. This might be blasphemy, but I think I like them more than Cat and Bones from Jeanine Frost series.
I like them more.
Because I'm like, Cat and Bones are like top tier as well, but I think Adam and Mercy are better.
I just feel like Adam and Mercy, their relationship has, and not to, you know, we love that other series. I love that other series as well. But I just think this relationship is a little more
balanced.
Balanced, yes. And there's a lot of emotion there. It's just not rage and lust. And I feel like sometimes Cat and Bones just feels like rage, jealousy, and lust. Like that is it.
But I feel like that's 75% of their relationship.
Yeah.
Because, Cat's constantly running away and Bones is chasing her, or he's mad and running away and she's chasing him, and there's a lot of fighting between them. Like, it's the two of them against the world, but they fight a lot. Adam and Mercy don't fight. They argue, and she turns the phone off on Dan and be like, shut up.
Hang up. But I think that they're a lot more nuanced. They feel more like a real couple because it's like, even when they fight, and they actually learn when they need to talk to each other, it's like always revelation, right? It's always something that they have learned together. And you can tell as we are going through these books, they have a really strong bond. And maybe it's because of the pack bonds, you know, they can kind of hear each other and feel each other, but it's a different level. It feels different.
It feels, it does feel different. It feels... Again, balance is the word I keep coming back to. Adam and Mercy. Well, let's talk about Adam's declaration.
Okay.
So after Mercy declares on the bridge that the wolf pack is the protector of, you know, the whole Tri-City area, they call a meeting that night. And Mercy's feeling pretty guilty. She's like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said anything. It's my fault. Adam's mad at me. You know, the way she just hurts herself over and over again with guilt unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So Adam calls this meeting. The entire pack is there. And he's like, who wants to speak first? And Mary Jo jumps up and he goes, not you.
Sit down.
And then Ben gets up and starts talking about, I don't know, the pack. And, you know, the whole thing just kind of devolves into people feeling more comfortable to bash Mercy. And Adam finally says, enough. If you insult my wife one more time, I'm going to kill you.
And he means it.
He's like, you are dead. No second chances. Nothing.
No answer buts, no questions, no discussion. He said, I will end you.
I will end you. You insult her. You say anything bad about her, I will end you. You are gone.
He laid down the law. And that was hot.
That was very hot. That was very hot.
I was like, dang, Adam.
And that whole speech where he was like, she doesn't need me. And she's like, hey, I do need you. And he's like, she needs me to love her. And that is my privilege. I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Wedding vows.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Adam is the best. He also offered his wolves, like, if you can't deal with this, you can leave right now.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, nobody left.
No.
Not Mary Jo, not Paul, nobody who's tried to take her out in the past or who says shitty things about her, which again, Mary Jo and Paul are like the face of the anti-mercy club. None of them said anything.
No.
They're just like, okay, yeah, we're here.
No.
We're here for you. We're going to stick around for you.
Yeah, in that whole scene, I feel like also, honey, I mm-hmm. like her. A lot.
Oh, honey has like changed her yes. tune 100%. She mm-hmm. is team mercy all the way. She called everybody out. She's like, you're all fucking stupid.
She called Mary Jo stupid. She was mm-hmm. like, you are stupid because you're arguing with her and she saved us again. Like,
again.
You know?
Like, Mercy just finished saving us from a freaking volcano god.
Yeah.
And now you want to say she's a bimbo?
Like, I know.
You it's a mess. Idiot. It is
yeah.
a mess.
And it's crazy because, you know, honey's like, she drove him out of the garage. And then Mary Jo mm-hmm. goes, well, Ted and Adam defeated him. She's like, oh my God, what is wrong with you?
Can you fight a volcano god long enough for your team to like help you get him out of your space?
Mm-hmm.
No, Mary Jo, I think Mm-mm. you'd be dead.
No, and it's a mess. And that needed to happen. And I liked that the author put in, like, yes, he was tired of that, but mm-hmm. they needed that. It's like they're a
yes.
bunch of like puppies that you're trying to wrangle
mm-hmm.
and they need rules and guidance.
They need very firm rules. And
yes.
as soon as he laid this law down, you know, Mary Jo changed her tune. She was suddenly like, all right, I'm not Team Mercy, but I like you.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
I don't know if she likes her still yet, but I think she is. She at toward the end, I think she feels a little differently, you know, but I think that she's able to release the grudge because she has no choice but to release the grudge.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And I feel like with these wolves, they kind of needed that because,
mm-hmm.
again, like they need that very firm. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're accustomed to being in a situation where this is not a democracy. You do what I tell you. So they are used to that. And I understand Mercy wanting to stand up for herself and wanting to kind of bring them to her side in a natural
it's
way.
Natural.
But
mm-hmm.
it just couldn't be done. So
because no. they were going to hold on to their prejudice. They were going to mm-hmm. hold on to their anger. They were going to find any little reason to not like Mercy.
Right. And it's not the same as, and I think, so one of Mercy's concerns was that it would be like what Bran did with Leah, right? He put mm-hmm. the smack down on his group too. He said,
yes,
enough. I don't want to hear one bad thing about Leah ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mercy was fearful that it would just make people hate her in secret. But Mercy is different from Leah.
Mercy is the opposite of Leah. Leah like
yeah.
will intentionally attack people in mm-hmm. harmful ways, whereas Mercy will, you know, if you mess with her, she'll get you back with blue hair dye.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really hate her for that. Like, you can, but you can't.
Speaking of blue hair dye.
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this off topic, we'll come back to it, but I just want to say real quick, like, Christy made a quick appearance in this book. And Adam was having none of it. He's like, get your shit together and leave like I told you.
Which, thank God, because usually Adam rolls over and lets Christy control everything. But this time he put his foot down and said, mm-hmm. no, you're getting on a plane. I'm putting Daryl on the plane with you. He is taking you to where you need to go, to the Bahamas. I'm
yeah.
paying for this trip so you will be safe. Now go.
Yeah. Of course, she want to be in it with her whiny self. I'm like, mm-hmm. girl, get out of here. I kicked her out. But, you know,
I was a little surprised she'd lasted this long and that nobody else had brought up like, oh, well, Christy this or Christy that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Mary Jo and Arielle and Daryl and all of the other wolves who like love Christy usually mm-hmm. bring up Christy against Mercy. But surprisingly, she wasn't mentioned. It was just...
Maybe because Mercy. It was coming right off the end of, you know, the last book. Not too much time has passed, so they were still kind of feeling grateful to be alive.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But.
Yeah. So, oh, we're okay. We're coming upon our break time, so we should take a quick break. You guys check out the commercials. By listening to those, you are supporting the podcast. And also, you can support the podcast by purchasing the book review journal, available right now over on Amazon. So go ahead and check that out. The links are in the show notes, and we'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by the Shelf Addiction merch store. Check out all the bookish t-shirts, notebooks, mugs, and more. Don't miss out on these original designs, perfect for any book nerd. Support the podcast and visit shelfaddiction.com/merch and pick up your next favorite bookish item. All right, welcome back, everyone. We are going to continue our discussion of Fire Touch.
Woohoo!
Yeah, there's some more things we need to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Where should we go next?
Well, do we want to talk about the Fae?
Okay, well, that's a big conversation.
I mean, that's a big conversation. So, it started back in Fair Game over in the Alpha and Omega series when Beauclair, who makes another appearance here, said that all the Fae need to go live in the reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it started with that. Then was it Frostburned or Nightbroken when Tad and Z were taken?
I think it was Nightbroken.
I think it was the last book that they were taken by the Fae. Mm-hmm. We found out that they had been tortured,
mm-hmm.
and Beauclair got them out per his agreement with Mercy, which might kind of be a plot hole.
Okay.
So, last book, Nightbroken, Mercy said, I will give you the stick back, the walking stick, if you get Tad and Z out. And he did that, but he didn't get to keep the walking stick because it kept popping back into Mercy's hand.
Well, the agreement was, I'll give you the walking stick. And she did that. There was no verbiage about him keeping the walking stick.
And the walking stick does have a mind of its own.
Right.
So maybe he knew that the walking stick wouldn't stay.
Mm.
I don't know. Mercy even questioned that. She was like, I didn't think he would do anything because, you know, the walking stick didn't stay. But yay, we get Tad and Z and Aiden all at once.
Well, you know, the Fae take like these bargains and deals really literal. Mm-hmm. So you have to be real careful in wording when you speak to them in general.
Yes.
So he probably figured out he didn't have a leg to stand on because she gave him the walking stick. She mm-hmm. did. So he probably
she
just
did.
Was like,
she fulfilled her end of the bargain.
Right.
And we don't know what happens to it when it sometimes disappears because it's usually around her, mm-hmm. but sometimes it disappears for a bit. So maybe it's like popping back and forth, like between, you know, divorced parents or something.
Like where did it go?
I'll be with Dad some days. I'll be with Mercy other days. Mm-hmm. It'll be joint custody like thing.
Yeah, because the walking stick is now like, what is the word that I want to use? It's aware, right? It's mm-hmm. fully aware and it's making choices and doing things.
Do we want to talk about the last choice?
Sure.
Or do we need to talk about all of the Fae before we skip ahead?
You all know we jump around. I don't think it matters which order.
Okay.
So you go ahead. You start.
Well, you know, to finagle or finalize the treaty with the Fae to make the town's neutral territory, Adam, Mercy, and Aiden all have to go into Underhill to find an artifact. And while they're there, they run into one of the Grey Lords who hates them. and wants the artifact for herself and to end everything. And in the midst of this very short fight, and by very short, like it's just a couple pages as compared to two chapters, Mercy is fighting the Grey Lord with the walking stick, and the walking stick decides to eat a spell that is being thrown at her. And by eating the spell, the walking stick dies.
Right. Like it's broken into pieces.
It is broken into a lot of pieces. Yeah. It made this choice. Mercy felt it make this choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sad.
I know.
This walking stick that was just a stick, but has grown into its own character, mm-hmm. gave the ultimate sacrifice to save Mercy.
It's always been attached to her, right? Like, for mm-hmm. some reason, it gravitated to her. Maybe it's because she's part coyote. You know, maybe, we don't know, right? We don't really know why the walking stick has been so helpful to her. But whatever reason, it looks out for her. And it made it have to decide, well, okay, I can let this spell come and it will disable her. Like, it would be bad mm-hmm. if this spell hit her. So I'm going to just eat it.
Yes.
When Coyote took the stick, it came back mm-hmm. different. It came back different.
It did come back different. But Mercy felt it die, and it shattered into a bunch of pieces. And she tried to give it back to Lou, but that didn't work. So she buried mm-hmm. it in the garden. And, mm-hmm. you know.
Rest in peace, walking stick.
We love you, walking stick.
It's like its own character.
It is its own character. Absolutely.
And even Baba Yaga was like, oh, yeah, the four of you will be fine. And she's mm-hmm. like, four? And she counted the walking stick as mm-hmm. part of the group.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, good stuff. So what else about the Fae we should cover?
Well, the Fae are not in unity at all about any of this. Beauclair seems to be like one of our few allies that we can actually trust. The other allies were still a little iffy about. Yo-Yo Girl is terrifying as always.
Yes. And she was just like there slinking around, mm-hmm. you know, like
looking like a little 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
More powerful than most of the other Grey Lords.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, they have a lot of internal arguing and bickering going on. And it's mm-hmm. been said in other books. Like, the Fae will, if they could ever stop fighting each other, maybe they'll be able to take over the world. But they can't stop the infighting. Mm-mm. So, I feel like, ultimately, as long as they're fighting each other, the world will not be taken by the Fae.
Yes. The world is mostly safe from the Fae because they can't unify and fight in a, you know, tactical united front.
Yeah, like they use glamour against each other. Mm-hmm. You know, even with that meeting, you know, when, what was her name? Meredith? Is that her name?
Margaret.
Margaret and Thomas go and they bring, of course, Mercy and Adam.
And Z.
And Z, but they didn't really, some of them didn't know he was there.
Nope. Some they were all hidden by glamour, except Jesus could see through the glamour. And
yeah. So when the glamour came off after this whole, like, you know, she had to deal with these cuffs, another pair of cuffs. like they never stopped trying to control and trick each other. Mm-mm. So, of course, everyone actually sees Z once the glamour is like taken down and they're like, oh.
Oh my god! Terrifying! Where did you come from?
He's been here the whole time. And I mean, and again, Z is very powerful. He's very old and very powerful, and that is like re-emphasized at this point when they're like, "Why aren't you
on the council?"
On the council, he's like, "I wasn't asked," and they're like, "Well."
Which is just hilarious because that kind of implied that he would be on the council, but he's too terrifying for anybody to want to work with him, which we were reminded multiple times that Z is not a hero.
No.
Not at all.
No. And it's hard to, like align those two versions of him, because mm-hmm. what we see now is what Mercy sees, and that mm-hmm. is someone who is caring and helpful and has your back mm-hmm. and all of that. But it took him centuries to get to this point, right?
Yeah, he's at least over 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And for most of that time, he was the bad guy. He was the mm-hmm. boogeyman. Most Fae are terrified of him. And when he started going after the people who tortured him, they're still finding pieces of those Fae books yeah. later.
Yeah.
And by pieces, I mean pieces of these Fae.
Literal pieces.
Literal pieces. You're like, oh, is that a piece of the one who hurt Z? Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, he's terrifying.
He definitely is. And I'm not mad about it. I Mm-mm. think being reminded of that kind of puts into perspective some of the things he's able to do, you know, mm-hmm. because he can do a lot, like random situations. He miraculously has a way to assist in a helpful way, like things you wouldn't mm-hmm. really expect. But I think that's cool. And especially when you find out, like, he really came to, like, protect. Why is her name escaping me? Say it one more time.
Margaret.
Oh, yes. I have Miranda in my head. And it's that's like, Margaret.
So sometimes known as Maggie, but yeah, Margaret.
He killed, I'll call her Maggie. That might yeah. help me remember.
They were enemies. They were yeah. honorable enemies, is what they called each other.
Uh-huh. So, like, they kind of did not agree on anything. Mm-mm. They always fought, but they respected how each other fought, and they respected the power that they both have. Each of them yes. respected each other.
Yes. So, and when he found out that her father had been killed, yeah. he told her, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I would have gone and saved him, because he didn't deserve that. Yeah. Like, that was a cowardly murder for somebody with honor who deserved a better end.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's like, well, I'm going to help with this.
Yep.
Because your dad. And he's not the only one. So Z does it. And then Baba Yaga shows up as they are leaving this meeting. And they're walking. And then, like, all of a sudden, they're like, wait, somebody is following us. Someone's looking at us. We're out here. They're, like, in the parking lot. And they're trying to smell. They can't see anything. And they're walking. Let's get to the cars. And then all of a sudden, poof, here she is. You know, she's like, they're trying to figure out what it is. And she's like, oh, a witch?
Hello, it is
hey,
I.
What's up? You know, she's dolling out, like, cards to Maggie. Like, you get mm-hmm. a favor from me, basically. She's like, mm-hmm. put the card away, rip it up. I'll come to you one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're daddy, right? I was yep. cool with your daddy.
Yep.
So, and of course, Mercy gets a card too, a different card. And she's like, call me. Call me when you just need some help.
Just call me. It's fine. I'm just Baba Yaga. Just call me.
Yeah. Just no expectation, no promises. Just call me. You know, I might have some information for you. Bye. And she just like, what the? This woman's nuts.
That's crazy. It is crazy.
It's great. So all those face scenes, honestly, mm-hmm. were really good.
They were good. And it's showing, again, how it's being woven throughout all of these books and all of these different series between Alpha and Omega and Mercy. Like, it's all the same world, but we're seeing all these different aspects of the Fae. Like, we know why Beauclair decreed justice and said, we all have to go live in the reservations. And then we're seeing the outfall of that and realizing, oh, they can't live here. Like, they're fighting too much. And, you know, some of the Fae want to fight and destroy all of humanity. And if they die in a blaze of glory with all humans, then so be it.
Yeah.
And if others are like, no, we need to try and live in harmony so we can, you know, live. Mm-hmm. And it's just really interesting to see all of this building and growing, and there are consequences to actions, and you see the ripple effect for books. Yeah. And it's really interesting.
Speaking of ripple effect, we got to spend some time with Sherwood just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He is up there acting like he's about to jump and kill himself. So Mercy, of course, she's like, dang it, I'm in a werewolf pack and nobody is around. Okay, I will go.
Yep.
So she goes and she climbs the scaffolding or whatever to get to the top. And they're sitting there just having this conversation. And it's like, wow, here we go, you know? And it's, we know, but everyone else doesn't know yet if you haven't gotten past this book. But it's like so many things happen that give us clues. And there are clues.
Yes.
Because even later, when Sherwood is involved in something and Z recognizes his fighting style, he's like, hey, I recognize
you. I recognize you. I've seen you fight before.
Yeah. He's but like, give me a few minutes, you know, give me a couple days and I'll figure out who you are. But he's like, well, if you're as old, you know,
as me,
and I've seen you fight, then I'm sure Bran knows who you are. Mm-hmm. He said that.
Yep, he said that.
That for later. That's all I'm going to say. I'm like,
Patricia Briggs, I think she knew right from the get-go.
Yeah.
But she teased and tortured us for several books before finally giving us the big reveal. But there are clues given to us from, you know, right now. And it'll be a fun ride rereading all of this stuff about Sherwood and trying to figure out who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's a big old fat mystery. And it's going to be great.
That's going to be great. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, again, the brilliance of the plotting is just now that we have read through the 13th book, it's just mind blowing.
Yes.
And it's like, what else has Briggs already laid that is yet to come? It's like, I want to know all the things. I feel like that. I get really excited.
There was one line in here that was just, you know, the most basic throwaway line where somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody said to Mercy, Stefan will never turn against you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercy was like, well, yeah, like he's my friend, but it was deeper than that and deeper than just, oh, he's in love with you, because it's not just that. And again, we're going to have to deal with the vampires soon enough, but it was just one of those things that, you know, it was a throwaway line. As I'm rereading this book, I'm like, oh, she's giving us hints.
Yes,
she's telling us what's coming in the future.
Yes. She's telling us very plainly.
Mm-hmm.
If you, it's like you miss these things, right?
Because
you get like kind of like narrow-sighted. Like you're focusing on the current fight.
Yes, we're focusing on the Fae right now.
Yes.
Like blinders on.
So these other things are just one-off comments that no one pays attention to.
No,
like,
and
Easter
Mercy
eggs.
Doesn't even really pay attention to it either, because she's like, oh yeah, Stefan's my friend. Of course he's not going to turn against me. Like, it's, but no, like, there was so much more to that meaning. And I don't remember who said it to her, but like, Mercy, pay attention, honey.
Listen. You've been told.
You've been warned. We have four more books. Plus, you know, book 14 is being written right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. So we'll have more to look forward to next year.
Oh my gosh. You know, honestly, it's so hard for me. Like, once you get so far into this series, and that started pretty early for me, I want to say book 5 or 6, it got harder for me to remember when things happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm like, okay, that hasn't happened yet, but almost, or not quite. And I'm like, well, I don't want to accidentally say something. And the further we get into it, it's hard. It's like, because I've already read it.
Yeah.
It's all kind of meshing together a little bit because we know the end. So so it's hard to know when to say something and when not. Because I'm like, wait, did we read that already? I don't know.
Yes. But also, like, I'm sitting here reading the Alpha and Omega stuff and the short stories. And so I'm like, wait a second. Did I read something ahead of time or did I read something like out of order? And, you know, there are tiny little details about that being sprinkled in too. And oh my God, this woman's brain is just incredible because of all of this detail and world building. And I feel like a crazy person with the pins and the red yarn.
We need
and I'm
a
like,
wall.
Well, this and this and this. and this leads to this. And she said this phrase back here, and now it's coming up over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's wild.
But it's awesome, and it's fun, yeah. And it keeps us coming back. And every reread, we find something new.
Yeah. And I mean, that really keeps me hooked, to be honest. And they're absolutely such easy reads. They really are. My goodness. I think there was one more thing I wanted to cover, but it's escaping me. And I know you're probably going to say it. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. I'm waiting for you to read my mind anytime now.
You're blocked from me right now. Is this something to do with the end and the last chapter?
The chapter
14 was just a very short, quick, Mercy's making brownies and they're talking about the oils and, you know, guess who LaBelle is.
Yes, it's funny. They were wondering about the owner of that company.
The MLM. They were selling essential oils to everybody.
Yeah.
Mercy was worried it might be a witch.
Because she was concerned about like some of the mixes and she was like smelling it. She's like, I don't smell magic, mm-hmm. but I'm going to give some of these to Elisaveta. Maybe she can, you know, see something I can't see. But, you know, she's using this orange oil for her brownies, which, by the way, I'm like, oh, I hope that's like food grade oil. It's got to be.
It's got to be. Or if their werewolf stomachs like just digested fine.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I guess they're looking it up or something. And then somehow Aiden sees the photo of the woman on the laptop. And he's like, oh.
That's Baba Yaga.
That's Baba Yaga. Like, oh. Wow.
She's a multi-millionaire making other people work for her.
Yeah. She's got her oils on mass production. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's actually got some ingredients that are actually useful against the Fae.
Yep, because Mercy was able to use some of that, was it John's wort or something wort against the troll on the bridge because she just happened to have that bottle in her pocket and it worked.
I think that was the bottle of the stuff that she got to keep Adam away from her.
Well, it kept the troll away from her.
She's like, I don't think we mentioned that in the podcast. So some of the stuff she bought, you know, the woman was like, hey, you need some oils to give your man like a little boost? You know, we have like a little boop pill alternative. And she's like, no, I need the opposite. I'm married to a werewolf. You got something else to keep him like, you know, away? And she's like, well.
Yeah, no, Mercy's like, well, he does it at night and that's fine. And then in the morning, that's okay. But then, you know, 3 or 4 times during the day is just too much.
Hell no. I want some of that. If that was going on, I want some of that juice too. Like, give me some of that.
I need a break. How does it work? Tap out. Let me sleep.
You're like, do I wear it? Does he wear it? How does it work? But, you know, she gets some of that. I think Warren, not somebody was being funny and put some in her pocket.
I think it was Zach.
Zach, okay. Yes. And so she just happened to have some. She, like, puts it down and it works.
Throws it out and it works. Yeah. And repels the troll momentarily. Yeah.
Right. So it's like a little something, something. Not really magical, but it's just the herb, I guess.
Something about it repels Faye.
Temporarily, anyway. It's pretty funny. Like, oh my gosh. And then to find out the whole time, like, the witchiest Faye witch of witches is the one that
making
created
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that was fun.
I think she's trying to give humans some kind of armor without knowing it's armor or protection against the Fae. Because she wants to help everybody against the Fae. Like, she does not, even though she is Fae, she doesn't seem very Fae-ish. You know? Like, she was helping Mercy. She helped Mercy trick Underhill by saying, give me, like, an unborn life. So Mercy just handed her an egg.
And she told her before about how much she likes hard-boiled eggs.
And Mercy's like, here, take an egg. And Underhill is like, oh, you tricked me. I like this.
He's like, how fun. You gotta come back here. We have fun. And she's like, sure, we can have fun, maybe.
No. I don't know if I would have fun with Underhill. Underhill's a little scary. But
she's like fun or terrifying. I mean, but it's not an outright lie. Maybe it could be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, she tricks her with the egg, which is really funny. I mean, like all these little things. And I guess also, I really like that interaction that Aiden had in Underhill with Underhill. And like we got to see he had a little house. He was really like defending himself in there. We got to see all these like cool things about Aiden's character.
Yes. There's a lot to Aiden that we don't know yet.
And then to see how he interacts with Underhill and how he managed to like make a deal. So, you know, of course, Adam gets hurt. Of course.
Of course, as always.
And, you know, Baba Yaga's like, yeah, I could do something, but not without permission from Underhill. And she's like, no. And he's like, hey, quit being mean. Quit being mean. Tell everybody. So they agree. Okay, I'll come back and hang out with you once in a while, but you can't stop me from leaving. She pouts a little bit. And she's like, fine. So, of course, you know, it's worked out. But I thought that was cool. So I'm like, obviously, we are not done with Underhill.
Not even close.
Not even close. And that was fun. Oh, one more thing I think that was really cool in the final chapter. It's like, so in this book, after Mercy declared their space protected, of course, Bran calls and he's like, hey, we need to separate you from us because this could be a big deal. And this is just best for everyone. So, of course, Mercy is personally pissed off. Like she feels like that's the right thing, but she feels abandoned by him.
Yes, he's not her father. He's not her stepfather, but he is one of the father figures of her life. Like he basically helped raise her, and Mercy has a lot of abandonment issues. And so when he cuts her out of the pack, or Adam's pack and Mercy out of his pack, and she takes it personally.
Yeah, she does. And I think she tried to be adult about it. She tried her best, but she felt away.
Yes.
So at the end there, we find out, well, you know, we still have to be separated from the pack longer, but apparently Bran sent Baba Yaga to help us.
He called her in Russia and like asked for a personal favor for her to come and help Mercy.
Like she owed him something and she called it in. And he didn't tell them because I don't think he knew for sure if she would come or not.
Or help. You know, help. She's a little crazy.
Yeah. So it was a risk. But, you know, Bran be having some stuff up his sleeve.
Bran loves Mercy more than his own sons sometimes.
But, yeah, you can count on Bran. He's got, like, a lot. Like, he never, and even Mercy talks about the philosophy of Bran versus, like, Adam. Like, how Adam, like, while he looks at the long game, he still puts people in front of that.
Yes, you know? He cares about people. He kept Aiden, even though the long-term, long game said no, you know, like, sacrifice Aiden. But Adam is the type of person, like Mercy, who says, no, we protect the innocent. We protect the people who can't protect themselves. This is who we are. This is the stance we take. Whereas Bran says, if I need to kill you to save the long-term, the long game, I will kill you.
Right. So he's definitely less in tune with his feelings, which is always surprising when he actually manages to do something to try to help her. So it's like he's going to passively try to help her. Not as bad as Coyote, though. Like Coyote has a different flavor. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like they both are kind of, I'll help you if I can, but I'm not going to openly, forwardly help you. Yes. I'm going to do it in the background if I can.
I'm going to do it my way. And if you get hurt a little bit, that's fine. If you don't see it, that's fine. But I'm going to help you my way.
Right. So that's that. I feel like that was really cool that he ended up trying to help. And he did help.
And he did help.
Yeah, because she did. Baba Yaga did step up and help. So
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yay, Bran! We love and him I'm sure like a father.
I know. And I'm sure it didn't hurt anything that she has a thing for Russian wolves. So
she really had a thing for Adam.
She's like, hey, give your husband a nudge for me. I will not give him a nudge for you.
Not at all. You are not invited into this bed. There will be no threesomes.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. It's funny. All right. Is there anything else? I think we're kind of done, though.
I think we're kind of done. This book has a lot to it. It's fantastic. Yeah. But I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. The most important part is we're still enjoying this ride.
Absolutely. I can't wait for book 10.
I know. And actually, it's funny. You know, we had recently talked about book 13, but now I feel like I want to read it one more time because we're coming to the end. Are we going to do it, Casey?
Reread book 13.
Okay, we're going to do it.
Yes.
Because I feel like it needs to be a part of this series because we are.
Yes. I mean, like, we've just read the whole series. We've picked up on all these new details. I feel like we need to reread 13 just to finalize it all.
Yes. And I feel like it's going to be a different experience already
because
of all the things that we have been recently reminded of.
Absolutely.
And refreshed on.
Yes. Okay.
Yay. All right. It's a bet. Okay. Thank you, you guys. If you are still here listening to The Sound of My Voice, I appreciate you for listening to the entire episode. Be sure to hit that like button and subscribe to the podcast before you go so that you never miss a Mercy Thompson episode.
Yay.
Let alone any of the other cool episodes we do here on the podcast. So I think that is it.
I think so.
All right. So that's it. We'll see you guys next time. Until then, take care of yourselves.
Bye guys. Everybody. Happy reading.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to show your support, there are a few things you can do. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive 5-star review or like this episode on your favorite podcast player. It seems so simple, but it really helps me out. You can share this podcast with other book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. You can also join the Shelf Addiction Patreon family. For as little as $2 a month, you will help us produce even more awesome content for your ears. You can also consider joining the Shelf Addiction Official Facebook group, where we talk all things bookish and more in a safe space. The Shelf Addiction Podcast is a part of the Nerdy Maven Network. You can also reach us via email at info@shelfaddiction.com. Thank you for listening.